This is Henry and Seb, a podcast series of stories from my new book, Sir Henry Wood, Champion of J.S. Bach. It's about the bits that intrigue me most as I piece together a jigsaw that had previously eluded historians and musicians. The founding conductor of the Proms, Henry Wood, turns out to be the missing link in the tale of how the music of Johann Sebastian Bach became popular in the UK. They're an arborious pair, aren't they? Wood and Bach. But no one's taken much notice of them recently. Till I'd done this research, Wood couldn't take his proper place in the history of Bach reception, simply because we didn't know about the extent of his work. A few Bach scores in the Wood archive had been opened, a couple of them had been used for performance in the days when they could be loaned out, but most of them had been untouched since Wood last turned the pages. Today, this is a story right from the end of Wood's life, and it centres really on one particular published score. Funnily enough, it's not even one that's in the Wood archive, it's on lots of library shelves. In 1944, Boosey and Hawkes released the Sir Henry Wood edition of Brandenburg Concerto No. 3. Well, it's fascinating to look at it side by side with his marked scores from the archive that we can now see and the recording that he made in 1932. And I'll put that on a playlist where you found this podcast on my website. The published score is massively detailed and it clarifies thoughts he'd mooted in previous scores. Things like the number of players on each part and the way the orchestra should sit to balance the music. But it also standardises ideas, especially in interpretive markings like dynamics and accents. And as a result, it really doesn't do justice to the variation and the subtleties of tone that you can hear in that recording. As a lasting legacy, it also falls short of the detail shown in earlier scores. But that wasn't the point of the edition. The point was that this was yet another opportunity to make the Brandenburg Concertos accessible to a wider audience. Something Wood had been doing all his life with audiences, but this was a wider audience of players, amateurs, students, anyone who wanted to play Bach. He wrote an introduction, and it's his longest piece of writing on the Brandenburg Concertos specifically. And to be frank, it's almost as interesting as the score itself.
These evergreen masterworks have long been known and loved by musicians and concertgoers. Yet because of the various problems they present in performance, there are numerous orchestras, particularly those consisting of amateurs and students, for whom their production is difficult or impossible. This, then, is intended to be a practical performing edition, based on more than 30 years' experience of conducting the concertos at public concerts. I hope it will not only go far towards smoothing out difficulties of performance for the standard professional orchestras, but will also enable the works to be played by many other ensembles to whom hitherto they have been inaccessible.
Then it was straight to the first of those practicalities.
The string parts have been bowed and fingered, and the war on dots will be noted.
This seems like a bit of an odd thing to say. Definitely a bee in Wood's bonnet. But there'd been a backlash against the lush romantic style of performing by musicians who were really at the forefront of period performance. Like so many reactions, it had gone to an extreme, a really detached way of playing. And as far as I can tell from his recordings, scores and reviews of his performances, Wood had trod a path that fell part way between the two, the springiness of his approach, and to say nothing of the breakneck speeds. He always maintained, though, that music needed a mediator, an interpreter, a guide.
One hears it often said, let the music speak for itself. Does it? And if and when it does, what is the answer? Dull, dead notes, just notes. Did I let the music speak for itself when I introduced the immortal Brandenburg Concertos to England at the Promenade concerts? No. And if I had, I'm certain the man in the street would not have listened and would not have come to fill Queen's Hall to overflowing every Bach night.
Yes, yes, and no one's denying that. But back to the preface.
As far as dynamics are concerned, Bach left no indications in his score. I have added expression marks, though more as a general guide than as detailed instruction. I would add that, having had the unique opportunity of playing Bach's violin concertos with Joachim, Norman Neruda, Isai, Kreisler, Menuhin and others, I always noted that these great string players did not play long series of notes with a level forte tone. In terraces of sound is, I believe, the official term. Without the slightest inflection or artistic messa di voce, they all employed a subtle inflection and emphasis, giving a human feeling to these immortal phrases of the master.
It's quite a task, mediating between these luminaries and players new to Bach, but that was Wood's skill, and that was the role he adopted in this edition. And this last section certainly hints that he intended to publish a complete set of the six concertos. So I went looking for the rest. Now this one, number 3, for strings, had been published in 1944, the year that Wood died. So I assumed he'd started with number 3, but they're not finished. The Wood archive at the Royal Academy of Music had some clues. I found manuscript paper, Boosey and Hawke's manuscript paper, with his very late, scrawly handwriting. There was Brandenburg 5 and partial manuscripts of number 6 and 1. Each showed Wood doing some slightly extraordinary things with the concertos, very much his own creations. Brandenburg concertos 5 and 6 were dated 1943, which suggests that he must have finished number 3 before that, and perhaps it had taken a couple of years to get it published, and then he died whilst in the process of thinking about number 1 and not yet reached number 2 or 4. At this stage, it was all guesswork. Well, a few years went by and I was living in Toronto, Canada, but decided to have another go at investigating the publishers, the Boosey and Hawkes Avenue. And in 2017, the firm had finished depositing their entire archive at the British Library. So I got in touch with them again to see if there was a way of finding out anything about maybe the sales of Brandenburg 3. Then came one of those emails. In the gargantuan and still very much ongoing process of cataloguing, somebody remembered seeing a box with the name Henry Wood on it. I held my breath, and the next thing I knew, it was like arms stretching out across time. There were letters, there were scores, there were answers. Only I couldn't get to them. While I'd been in Canada, my British Library reader card had expired, and it turned out that even if I flew over, I couldn't get to the archive, and I'd have to appeal against not having a British address and so on and so on, and it'd all take time. And tick-tock, my book manuscript deadline was really looming. Fortunately, the head librarian at the Royal Academy of Music, Kathy Adamson, was also fascinated. As the custodian of the Wood Archive, more scores turning up like this was right up her street. Turned out there was no restriction on the file for informal photos, so, what a relief, she quickly agreed to be my eyes on the ground in London until 6 months later, when I'd be back in the UK and able to get to all of it myself. So what was in it? And here I am today, back at the British Library, where I'm glad to report my reader card is in date. But get to the point, I hear you cry. Well, it turns out that Ralph Hawkes of Boosey and Hawkes had approached Wood. On the 29th of January 1942, he'd written to Wood about a scheme he had in mind for the
publication of a new edition of some Bach works.
He specifically proposed the Brandenburg concertos, noting that
we have long wanted to add them to our catalogue.
Hawkes knew that Wood was the ideal editor for the Brandenburg concertos because of the difficulties that they presented modern orchestras and the arrangements that Wood had successfully made for the Proms and elsewhere. There's an enthusiastic exchange of letters in which both parties prove really keen to proceed with the commission. And also a note that confirms that they'd met in person to discuss the project, with Jesse Wood present, and that's a detail that will become relevant in due course. Well, I found a slightly quieter corner of the British Library to tell you more. Wood requested a written resume of the proposal before fully committing himself, and Hawkes duly obliged in a letter dated the 18th of February 1942. The document outlined their primary aim:
to issue the originals just as they are from the point of view of instrumentation, but at the same time to include alternative parts to each work, so that it can be played by the ordinary standard combination which is usually found.
In order to do this, Hawkes suggested that Wood should provide some alternative parts, for example, an ordinary solo violin in place of the violino no piccolo, and a clarinet or flute parts in place of the second and third oboes for Brandenburg Concerto No. 1. He also
thought it would be a good idea to offer one or two B-flat trumpets, Hammond organ, or even a Nova chord, which was the world's first commercial polyphonic synthesizer, in place of those tricky F trumpets in Concerto No. 2. Hawkes went on to stipulate that Wood must submit prefaces in order to explain his editorial decisions, but that the scores would contain his own indications of fingering, bowing, and dynamics. Finally, and emphatically, he stated that the addition should include a fully realised yet simple continuo part. Such a part might also have additional staves with indications of the other instruments.
It could thus be used as a kind of piano conductor, if required, by school or amateur orchestras.
Wood was offered the sum of 150 guineas for the completed work, plus his share of performing right fees. He agreed to all these terms in principle, but expressed concerns over the layout in which the firm intended to publish Bach's original and his own solutions. And after emphasising that
there is not a note imposed or altered in my versions of the Brandenburg concertos,
Hawkes was satisfied that only one score needed to be produced, but insisted upon seeing Wood's draft scores. A letter dated the 20th of April 1942 confirms his approval.
I have had a careful look at your score of the third Brandenburg concerto, and I'm glad to say I find myself in agreement with everything you have done. It will certainly make the basis of a first-class British edition.
After all, this would be the first complete edition of the Brandenburg concertos to be published in Britain. It would seem that Wood was given the choice of payment on completion of the project or by individual concertos delivered. He chose to submit the manuscripts in pairs, noting that it would be a
long, slow job,
as he intended to write out
every note myself.
They agreed a delivery date of the 1st of June 1942 for concertos number 3 and 1, and after an early submission, he was paid 50 guineas for them both. Boosian Hawkes' archive here at the British Library holds Wood's manuscript copies of both concertos, dated 1942. However, there was then a considerable delay in publication, and more than a year later, on the 4th of December 1943, Wood wrote a brief note to Hawkes, asking,
"When are the Brandenburg concertos to make their appearance? It seems so long since I finished off much work on some of them, and I should so like to see them on sale."
4 days later, he received a reply. It acknowledged what appeared to be
great negligence,
but assured Wood that there were
many good reasons
for the delay, the primary one being that paper supplies were short, a consequence of the war, but that he hoped to announce both numbers 1 and 3
early in the new year.
It could hardly be considered early in 1944, but by the 29th of June, Wood wrote to Hawkes to thank him for the score and set of parts for Brandenburg Concerto No. 3. It was in the public domain at last, and a review in Music and Letters deemed it an
excellent edition,
exclaiming,
"What labour has gone into this detailed marking of the parts?"
And
"An edition such as this is a valuable legacy of Sir Henry Wood. It's also a monument to the great conductor's pains."
Wood was effusive in praise for the publishers.
"Many congratulations upon your publication. It is perfectly produced with amazingly clear type, and I'm positive will become a great success."
However, number one hadn't been published and wasn't even mentioned. This was the last communication between arranger and publisher. Wood died 2 months later. Astonishingly, the archive showed that number one was pretty much ready to go. It was in the very final stages of preparation, having been typeset and proofed by Wood in January 1943, and reinforcing Hawkes' comment about wartime paper shortages, some of it's printed on the back of old song sheets. There are some differences between this and the published number three that shows their ongoing debates. For example, the keyboard continuo part is shown in full size in number one, but with the printed footnote initialled by Wood that reads,
"I prefer to omit the continuo part, as neither piano or harpsichord add, in my opinion, any musical beauty to this great work."
Alongside a specific preface and seating plan, he'd also prepared alternative parts for clarinets, flutes and trumpets, more than Hawkes had asked for. See, Wood was not an easy man to work with. There's a timeline written on the proof of the score. Edits from Wood's corrections had been requested on the 3rd of March 1944, instructions for marketing given on the 4th of July, final edits on the 12th of July, But then publication dates have been updated from 1942 to 44, and then 1945 after his death. Despite a marketing proof, there's no evidence to date that it went to press. But the Boosey and Hawkes archive revealed this was still not the end of the story. After Wood's death on the 19th of August 1944, the next letter is from Jesse Wood, dated the 11th of October.
I will do some thinking about Henry's four Brandenburg concertos, and as soon as I have formed an opinion, I will talk with you again. You have published number three, and you have in hand number one. Correct me if I am wrong.
More letters suggest that Jesse and Hawkes met to discuss asking the much-admired leader of the BBC Symphony Orchestra, Paul Beard, to carry on the edition, and Jesse later wrote to say that the decision gave her
complete satisfaction. For, of course, he has played these under Henry's direction for very many years.
She set out her plan to pay Beard, but also staked her claim in the project, concluding,
as we have the marked scores in every instance, we shall present them, just as he would have done, had he been spared to continue his work.
The four remaining concertos they submitted are increasingly baffling. They decided to go for number six next, Wood's favourite, as per his funeral request.
If you are here, dear Jesse, when I pass on, please let me hear Brandenburg number six.
Wood had already been working on this one, and his full score, in very scrawled handwriting, was in the Wood archive at the Royal Academy of Music. But curiously, it also had some evidence that Beard had been consulting with him on it. There are bars in which Beard makes suggestions, and Wood crosses them out. As I said, he was not easy to work with. The fact is that Wood had arranged the work that was originally for violas, viola da gamba, cello, violone and continuo, for violins, violas, cello and double bass, and this had taken some considerable jiggery-pokery. As a violinist, Beard didn't go along with all of his decisions, and after his death, without Wood to disagree, could alter it as he saw fit. To that end, he labelled it Bach Wood Arranged Beard, which is not what Hawkes had asked for. Nor did he include a preface, nor a continuo part, which is doubly strange, as there are continuo parts arranged by Wood earlier in his career and tucked into his scores. Still, that's what they did. And then Jesse wrote to Hawkes to say that they'd prepare the final three in the order he'd suggested, 5, 4, and finally 2. But their decisions get stranger. There was a fully prepared manuscript of number 5, the Brandenburg Concerto for Solo Keyboard, Violin and Flute, in the Wood archive, in Wood's inky handwriting. Well, either they didn't find it or decided not to use it. So what they submitted lost the character and identity of what Wood had had in mind for the project. That said, Beard's decision to write a continuo part so the piano played throughout would have met with the publisher's approval. When it came to number 4, the submission was quite straightforward. This was the first concerto for which Wood hadn't prepared anything specifically for this project. It's the one for two recorders and violin. Beard clearly found Wood's handwritten organ continuo part and wrote that into his submission, which seemed sensible and true to the conductor, but this time couldn't have pleased the publishers, as Wood, in his wisdom, had prepared a continuo part that didn't accompany the string orchestra, but accompanied the soloists. This was the opposite way round to how you would expect. Fascinating from a performance perspective, but you could just imagine Hawkes with his head in his hands. And as for the final concerto, the most problematic of the six, Brandenburg Concerto No. 2, for that tricky balance of violin, oboe, recorder or flute and trumpet, well, somewhat astonishingly, Beard just copied out the arrangement of the concerto made by Felix Mottl and slapped Wood's name on it. Granted, Wood had used that arrangement and marked it up with his own directions, but there are huge departures from Bach's original in the arrangement, and it's not even what Wood used in performances later in life. Oh, and they didn't include the required continuo part, despite the fact that Wood's own realisation survives, or any of the prefaces. Are we surprised that these were never published? No, these submissions by Jesse and Paul Beard were a true labour of love, but not what was required for it to be the Henry Wood edition. It absolutely explains why we only have Concerto No. 3 in the public domain. On the 3rd of December 1945, Jesse wrote a final letter to Boosey and Hawkes, which began,
I have today delivered the last of the six Brandenburg concertos, the Henry Wood edition.
She confirmed all the payments and paperwork were up to date and emphasised that they had
approached this in the professional manner I know Sir Henry would wish.
Concluding that she found comfort in the knowledge that
his years of work in making these concertos popular will not have been overlooked by those called upon to prepare them for publication.
There is a pencil note written by the publishers on this letter that reads,
these works should be brought out in 1946, complete.
But that was presumably written before they saw the content and the correspondence, and Wood's complete edition of the Brandenburg Concertos ends here. It means we don't know Wood's last thoughts on at least half of the concertos. War stalled things and his death finalised them. But knowing that this was to be a complete project speaks volumes on his commitment and affection for Bach and his conviction that this music should be accessible to an ever wider circle of performers and audiences.